today as we come to the table.
Keep that fire burning. Get it burning and keep it burning. Don't let it go out. And if you follow these principles, it will keep you burning and keep you on track. The ancient Greeks had a race in their Olympics that was very unique. I love this race because the winner was not the one who finished first, which is why I love it, because that probably would have been me. But either way, the winner was not the one who finished first. The winner was the one who finished with his torch still lit. And that really describes the Christian race. We need to finish this race with our torch still lit. So many people are falling away. And this is where, again, my heart as a pastor is for all of us. The Bible says in the last days, note this, there's going to be a falling away.
There are going to be people who walk away from the Lord. They will choose the world over God. The world is so distracting and manipulative, and it's only going to get worse as time goes on and we get closer to Jesus' second coming. But as Christians, we know that, and we can prepare our hearts and minds to focus on God. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to keep your own fire and passion for Jesus Christ burning bright. Don't let the world and its opinions and limited pleasures distract you or soften your fire for Jesus. Your passion for spreading the gospel should only grow deeper every single day. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the first book of Thessalonians chapter 5 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As today we finish 1 Thessalonians, and as we get to this today, we're going to see Paul's final instructions and blessing as he says his final goodbyes. Now, again, we kind of ended not really an awkward place, but we got through verse 14 last week. They're really kind of the beginning of this last section. So I want to start reading here in verse 14 and finish to the end, and then we'll pray and begin to look at this more closely. But notice what it says in verse 14 of chapter 5. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both, for you, yourselves, rather, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for just a beautiful portion of scripture here as Paul finishes up in 1 Thessalonians. God, giving these final instructions there to the body in this letter, in his heart for this young church, and Lord, pouring everything he can into them to prepare them for what they're going to need until you can strengthen them and grow them and bring them their own pastor and all that goes with that. And I can hear Paul's heart in writing this, Lord, his concern for them and his love for them. And yet, God, when we read this and we hear it, we hear your love and your concern for us. It's not just Paul for the Thessalonians. It's you for us and what you have for us today. So Lord, open up our eyes, open up our hearts, speak to us now the word of life. And we thank you, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we started looking at Paul's final instructions and farewell, as we said. This week, we're going to see Paul finish with these, what I'm going to call like pearls of wisdom. It's almost like Paul is putting together a pearl necklace of just all these nuggets, one pearl upon another here. And we're going to cover each one as we go through here so you can pass this letter on to them. And again, remember, Paul was trying to pour as much as he could into them because they still, at this point, all indications are, didn't have an official pastor. They were about 6 months old. They had leaders at the church, but they didn't have official pastors, if you will, because again, of it being such a new fellowship. And so they needed all the encouragement they could get. Paul was kind of the pastor from a distance, if you will. This might be kind of the first campus, you know, screen type pastor idea, if you will. Paul couldn't certainly be on a screen, but Paul could be there and have them read it to each of them, which we're going to see. And as you saw, he said he wanted them to do and to pass the letter on. But again, Paul's going to show his concern and heart was for them at that moment. We're going to see Paul's heart is the way he writes it for their future. And Paul wants them to finish well. You know, one of the things that Paul wrote was that he had finished the race. He had run the race and finished well. And that's something that Paul not only wanted the churches to do well while they were thriving in their youth, if you will, but as people got older, that we do well. And the same thing is true for us. We need to do well as we grow in the Lord. I'm pretty much, my personality is kind of a full throttle, all out personality in whatever I do. And that's good and bad. It was bad when I was in the world. It's a lot better that I'm in the Lord now. But I would go full throttle, which is good. I think it's good to be energetic for the Lord. It's good to be about the Lord's business. We don't have much time down here. We need to use it wisely. But we also need to pace ourselves. If everything is a sprint, you know, you're going to get worn out. You've got to learn to pace yourself in the Christian walk. And so Paul wanted them to pace themselves, and Paul wanted them to finish doing well. And so he's establishing all these foundational truths in their life. You know, keep that fire burning. Get it burning and keep it burning. Don't let it go out. And if you follow these principles, it will keep you burning and keep you on track. The ancient Greeks had a race in their Olympics that was very unique. I love this race because the winner was not the one who finished first. Which is why I love it, because that probably would have been me. But either way, the winner was not the one who finished first. The winner was the one who finished with his torch still lit. And that really describes the Christian race. We need to finish this race with our torch still lit. So many people are falling away. And this is where, again, my heart as a pastor is for all of us. The Bible says in the last days, note this, there's going to be a falling away. It's going to happen. It might be underway right now. We wonder what's going on, Lord, with all the churches that are closing, and we grieve for those that are closing and all these things that are happening. And you wonder how much of it is the enemy and how much of it is God working within his church to purify, to get the church where it needs to be. And so, again, the Bible says there'll be a falling away. Certainly the Lord doesn't want a falling away, but God can use things like this to purify his church. And a smaller purified church is much more powerful than a giant one that's not doing anything that's really of any significance around the world. I've often said, I would much have a smaller church that's a mile deep than one that's gigantic and 2 inches deep. Because there's no real effect of that. It looks good on paper. The parking lot's full. The crowds are there. Oh, you must be an important church. Are they really? Are we really? By the numbers. There's people that would look at our size of church. You look at some of the larger churches. We look at the really big churches and we think, well, we're small. But then you look at some of the churches that have 30, 40, 50 people. They think we're huge. It's not about how many people come there. The question is, what are you doing for God? How is the church being effective? Is it being effective? And so Paul, again, is going to string this beautiful pearl necklace together so that the church there in Thessalonica can be more effective. Let's jump into it. Again, we saw Paul again exhorting them to warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with everyone, teaching these characteristics and attributes that we need to have as leaders in the body and really just as the body in general to love each other. And then he says in verse 15, here's the first pearl, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. This is the reason this is a pearl. This is something that is not natural. It is not natural to hope the good for others that do us wrong. And it's certainly not natural to try to do good to those who are doing evil. Now, let me give this balance. It doesn't mean that if someone's doing evil, if someone's doing wrong, that there shouldn't be a consequence. What Paul is saying is, yes, there may be a consequence, but seek their best. Pray for them. Be a witness to them. Reach out to them. I mentioned this. You know, it's hard to stay bitter at someone that you pray for. And so the idea is that, you know, we see these. I watch what's going on, and I see the riots and the burning and the attacks and all of the. I see our nation right now and the turmoil that it's in. And you get emotional. You're like, what's going on? Why is all this happening? And you think about the legitimate reasons and the non-legitimate reasons and all that's happening. But do we think, you know what? We need to pray for them. We need to pray. Are we lifting them up? Are we praying for our leaders? Are we praying for those that are in the churches and praying for those that are in the streets, saying, God, do a work. Our nation needs the Lord. And I encourage you guys, you know, this is something that popped in my brain, and I think it's going to be, I think it'd be something really, you know, encouraging, and that is missionary lunching. You know, missionary fellowshipping. What do I mean by that? God put this in my heart, and I came back and I found that Zach and Haley had invited somebody that was new to the church, and they went on kayaks together and they're having a good time, this kind of thing. That's kind of fellowship together. But you think about it, you want to be involved in missions, but you can't go on a mission trip right now. You've got a lot of people around you here that you don't know. Some of them are believers, maybe most of them, maybe all. Some of them may not be believers. If you invested in one Sunday a month, one a month, and invited them to lunch, you could reach out and pour into their life. If they don't know the Lord, you can share the Lord and show them the love of Christ. If they do know the Lord, you can build relationships. And it's actually missionary outreach. It's not just, oh, you know, putting money and taking somebody to lunch. It's a way you can invest in other people's lives, get to know people, and build the body of Christ stronger. I think more than ever, we need each other. Guys, I don't have to tell you, the church is under great attack right now. You know, when I went out to New Mexico, I don't know. I think it is the Spirit. I don't want to sound over spiritual, but I could feel the difference in here and there. It's a lot more oppressive out there. There's a whole different feel. And I lived there for years. It didn't used to be that way. I could feel what's going on. Listen, what's happening in our world today, I realize that people are going to grab it for all kinds of reasons, but this is a spiritual event going on. This is a worldwide spiritual event by the enemy. And that God is allowing for whatever his reasons and purposes, and that is, I believe, getting us ready for, again, the last days and this world leader to rise up out of Europe where everybody's going to be willing to unify, to work together, to be one, which are all good messages if the right thing is happening. But if the wrong thing is happening, it's not a good message. And I can feel this sense of that spirit, but what's happening is at the same time there's this kind of worldwide thing going on, there's a real oppression happening to the church. Now, we've not had it happen here as much yet. It's coming our way. And I hope God holds it off. You know, there are blessings to living in what we call the Bible Belt, because there's a lot more Christians and there's a lot more Bible. And so I think sometimes we're a little bit too harsh with the flock, so there might be a little bit more belt than Bible, but the bottom line is, this is the Bible Belt area, and we need to love each other, and we need to strengthen that love and grow in that love. But out west, I mean, they're not only fighting churches that want to meet out there, I mean, they're threatening them in big ways. There's one county out there in California, they haven't done it, but they're threatening a year in jail for anybody that goes to church in their county. A year in jail. Is this China? Is this Russia? This is a spiritual thing that's happening. How are we going to beat this back? It's not going to be by political activity, although I'm not saying you can't be involved and make your voice known. I think there's a responsibility as believers to do what we believe is right. But it's not going to be by politics. It's not going to be by an election. It's not going to be by anything else, whatever. It's going to be even by March. It's going to be by on our knees in prayer, asking God to forgive us first, and then the power of the Holy Spirit restoring his church, and then us being a light to our nation. That's the only hope for our nation. And so we need to be praying for that and asking God to do that, to work in that. I mean, it's amazing what's happening as we watch it happen, but I think it's easy kind of to sit back and be asleep. And again, I'm not talking about get out and be an activist. I'm saying don't be asleep in prayer. And Paul's going to get to that in just a moment. Pray, you know, we're going to Washington. A group is going up to Washington to pray with Franklin Graham and to pray for our nation. They're not going up there to promote politics. They're going up there to pray for God to send revival to our nation and repentance to our nation. We're going to be praying in here that Saturday as well. And I'll be announcing as we get closer. I'm going to have the doors open. We're going to come in here and we're going to pray at the very same time. For those of you who can't go there, the reason I don't want to go up there is because I've been gone a lot from the pulpit lately. And I said, well, I can't just take off again, so I'm going to be here. But I'm going to make sure we're praying here. So we'll come here together and we'll be praying and lifting up. So while we're praying here, they'll be praying there. And I'll bet there'll be other churches doing it. We need a revival. And it's not just a good Sunday morning, you know, conversation. It's something that needs to happen. And so again, so Paul's reminding them in this, you know, again, to have the right heart really is what it comes back to when he says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but pursue what's good for both. It's not just the church. We need to be praying for those that are also struggling right now around our nation. Again, the good and the bad. God blesses the righteous and the wicked. You know, you look at somebody that's not living for the Lord and they're living like the devil, so to speak. A lot of times, I mean, that's just a goat that hadn't become a sheep yet. Pray for them. How many of you used to be there? We all did. We all used to be goats, if you want to put it that way. You know, it's interesting, staying there at their place out there where we taught the students this week, they've got a couple of goats. And you never know what to do with a goat. I can't trust goats completely. I mean, if you guys have goats, I mean, if you turn your back on a goat, you may go flying over the fence. You know what they're going to do. I didn't get in the fence, but I sat there. And one of them, when I walked outside, he just looked at me and started screaming. He said, ah, you know how they yell? And just kept it going. I'm like, well, what did I do to you? And I'm thinking, what did I do to you? And yet you go and see little sheep, and they're just like quiet and sweet and gentle. Because it's one prayer. It's one prayer from ah to I mean, I know we laugh at that, or my girls do anyway. But that's all it is. That's all it is. Paul went from being a murderer to a world evangelist like that when the Lord touched his heart. We've got to be praying, God, we need hearts touched desperately. And we need to be praying for those you might not think you would pray for. Pray for those in leadership. Maybe some you really disagree with. Pray for them. And I know I've said this before. I don't mean to be redundant. You know, don't pray for them to be struck down either. Pray for God to lift them up. God, open their eyes. We may get upset about things down here, but this is temporary. When we leave these bodies, every one of us in this room, we're eternal now, by the way. If you don't know the Lord, you're still eternal. It just depends on where you spend eternity. And when we step out of these bodies, there's no more choices that can be made. There's no more opportunities to repent. There's no more opportunity to receive the Lord. There's no more opportunity to serve him. That's it. Whatever you've done is in the can, as they say, in the showbiz industry. It's done. And now you just, whatever the results are, there are the results. So now's the time to serve. Now's the time to pray. And when we look at those people, although they may upset us because of things that are happening, remember this. This is a temporary anger of how could they do that? I'm with you, but think about what they're facing when they die. Lord, have mercy on them. And when you begin to pray, God will change your heart and give you a heart of love for all people, regardless of where they're coming from and regardless of what they're doing. Not that you agree with them, not that what they're doing is okay, but you have a heart of love for them. He says you need to be praying for both. Notice he goes on, verse 16, he says, rejoice always. Now this is one that, again, on the surface, it sounds almost impossible. How do you rejoice always? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit and by understanding what your ultimate result and the end of your life is. Things may be horrible right now. You're saying, Pastor, how in the world can I rejoice? Things are horrible right now. All these things. Go down the list of all the things that could be wrong in your life. But you're going to win in the end. God's going to restore you. God's going to bring you into the kingdom. All these things are temporary. You can rejoice at what lies ahead in the future. As Jesus says, the Bible says that he rejoiced for what was ahead. It wasn't the cross, but he rejoiced for what was ahead after the cross and had this joy set before him. We set our joy before us, and that means regardless of our circumstances, we can rejoice always. And so we need to pray for that. Again, that's a work of the Spirit. It has to be filled with the Spirit and God to give you that spiritual insight so that you can do it, because that's the way it comes. Again, something that only done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice he comes now to this next pearl, and you can just imagine them sliding on this spiritual necklace. He says, pray without ceasing. Now, this one is mind-blowing, especially for a young believer. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, you want to obey everything the Bible says. You're thinking, how in the world can I pray without ceasing? I mean, you got to sleep. And do you walk around the whole time kind of mumbling? Which, you know, I do talk to myself a lot. And maybe some of you guys do that. I remember when I was a kid reading about, you know, people say, if you talk to yourself, there's something psychologically wrong. Well, I don't think that's true. But if it is, then I'm a goner. Because I do that. I process things that way. And so it's kind of the idea, though, is this. Here's the idea about praying without ceasing. Not that you're constantly praying, but as you live life as a lifestyle, everything goes up to heaven. Just praying on a regular basis. Lord, oh, you know, somebody, when you guys talk to me, somebody will say, you know, I've got this going on, that going on. A lot of times I'll start praying in my mind. And I'm not even thinking about it. It becomes natural over time. I'm listening to what you're saying, but I'm saying, Lord, bless them. God, help them to find this job. Help them to get their car fixed, whatever. And there's the opportunity that I'll pray out loud and in person. But there's just kind of this idea of you live your life and you live your life in prayer. We were at White Sands out there. Those of you that have been to New Mexico and been to White Sands, it's a NASA area and also a military area that's out there. It's about 260 square miles or so of just these sand dunes out in the middle of the desert. It's amazing. And so the students got all together on one day. They said, we're going to go out there and show, you know, Pastor Mark the sand dunes. Of course, it was a full moon that night. And so they like to go out on the full moons, because when the moon comes up and we watched it come up, it lights up the whole desert. It's beautiful. Just gorgeous, you know. So we're out there early before the moon comes up, and we've got all the, you know, they brought chicken and coleslaw and mashed potatoes and biscuits and all the thing, you know, from Church's Chicken. Had everything blown up on the table. And all of a sudden, one of the leaders came out and said, guess what? I forgot something very important. And they're like, what was that? They said, plates. So, okay, and silverware. Okay, so when their plates or silverware. Now, the silverware thing, we never worked out, but you can use chicken to dip stuff in if you get a plate, right? Chicken's fine. Hold the chicken. Dip it in there. You'll be okay. That'll work to some degree. You can't do it so much with coleslaw, but probably mashed potatoes if you're so inclined. But the first thing that popped in my mind was pray. Pray for plates. Now, but here's where your flesh comes in. To pray for plates. You're at the sand dunes. I mean, yeah, there's some other cars around you there too, but where are you going to get plates in the middle of nowhere at sand dunes? And your flesh starts fighting you automatically to take that step of faith. So I did it anyway. I said, Lord, but I did it in my mind. I said, Lord, you can bring plates. You fed the children of Israel in the wilderness chicken and mashed potatoes for 40 years. Not really. But anyway, you fed them manna and you gave them everything they needed. You can give us plates. And it probably wasn't 30 seconds to a minute. All of a sudden, one of the students are kind of walking around. One of them comes walking back around. We didn't have any in the vans or the cars. We know that. And I should have asked him where he got them, because that's what I'd like to find out. Maybe I'll follow up. Because walking around the corner of the van, hey, I found a pack of plates. I'm like, you what? Found a pack of plates wrapped in plastic. So we broke them out and everybody started eating. I'm thinking, I should have prayed out loud. But I lacked faith. I was afraid I'd look foolish maybe, or maybe it would be a bad example. It wasn't so much me looking foolish. I thought, if I pray that out loud and God didn't bring us plates, maybe I'm being presumptuous to ask for that. And then all the new students are going to go, oh yeah, you know, I guess God doesn't always answer prayer. I didn't want to set the bad example. You follow me. So I did it quietly. And it's almost like God said, should have prayed out loud. It's like, man, you know. And it wasn't so they would recognize, oh, he prayed and his prayers. My prayers aren't any different than yours. It's our God. But I just believed him. I said, you can give us plates. What's a plate to the Lord? Nothing. And he did it. That's what it means, pray without ceasing. Every situation. Don't think that anything's too small to pray for. Don't think that anything is too great to pray for. You know, after that worked, I tried praying for seats coming back on the airplane. One of the prayers worked, one of them didn't. I said, Lord, give me an aisle seat, because they'd locked everybody in. They wouldn't let me change seats. Lord, give me an aisle seat. And I started thinking, wait, what other Christians are probably praying? Let me have the aisle seat. And so I didn't get one on that first flight. I thought, well, they outprayed me. But I wouldn't want to take their seat anyway if they need it more importantly. But God gave me an aisle seat on the second flight, which is the longest flight. And you think, does God do stuff like that? Absolutely. Pray without ceasing. Let your heart be known. Praying for others, praying for your needs, praying for yourself. Pray without ceasing. But you pray. You pray. And so then it goes on after praying without ceasing. Notice what he says. In everything, give thanks. If you're an underliner or a circler, I want you to underline or circle the word in. Why? Because I think a lot of Christians misunderstand the Bible and think that we're supposed to pray for or be thankful for everything in our life. The Bible doesn't say to be thankful for everything. You're not thankful you had a car wreck. You're not thankful you slammed your finger with a hammer. You're not thankful for these things. He says, be thankful it didn't break. Be thankful you're alive. Be thankful no one else was hurt. In all things, be thankful. Learn to see where you're blessed. Learn to see the blessings of the Lord and what it could have been. So don't think that you're supposed to go around thanking God for all the horrible things in your life. The Bible didn't tell you to do that. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. And so I love that too. Paul puts this kind of like, you know, caveat at the end. This is the will of God. Everybody wonders, what's the will of God? And I know God's will is much more encompassing than this and includes a lot more than this. But if you want to know one of the things that's the will of God, for sure, it's giving thanks in everything.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching verse by verse through the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. In this letter, the Apostle Paul teaches the early Christians to live holy and blameless lives by being sexually pure. Back in those days of Roman influence, much like it is in our culture today, people freely indulged their sexual desires and lustful passions. In such a culture, one of the most powerful ways Christians can display the holiness of God is to abide by God's design for sex, which is between a man and a woman, within the confines of marriage. We encourage you to reflect God's holiness in this way. If you have any questions or prayer requests, we'd love to hear from you and pray with you. You can give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. 1385. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Feel free to refer to our website for service times, thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, we trust that you've been encouraged through this teaching of 1 Thessalonians. Please make a point to join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach biblical truths and practical applications on living out the Christian faith from this New Testament book here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.